Hi, I'm Dave DeWitt, and today I'd like to comment on the theology of the Palestinian-Israeli war, which began on October 7, 2023. First of all, this war is not a biblical end times prophetic event. The war in Israel, which began on October 7, 2023, is not what Jesus predicted in Matthew 24 when he said, "You will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars," nor is it what is referred to as the beginning of birth pangs in verse 8. Jesus' comments in Matthew 24 are about his second coming. There is no observable connection between this war and prophetic end time sequence of events in the Bible. There's a clear end time sequence of events described in Daniel 2, 7, and 9, in Matthew 24 and 25, and in the book of Revelation. Each adds some detail, but all describe the same sequence. This Palestinian-Israeli war is not that sequence. There's also nothing in our current situation that would indicate this war is part of end times prophecy. For example, there's no global government, no global religion, no global economy where we purchase things with the mark of the beast. There's no global Antichrist leader, and we're not seeing the global judgments of God upon the earth yet. We can see that we're moving toward those things, but we're not there yet. We do not need to force fit things into what the Bible says. What the Bible says will unfold just the way the Bible says it will, by the hand of God. Could this war lead to war with Iran, which could lead to war with Russia, which could lead to war described in Ezekiel 38 and 39. Of course, we don't know what will lead to what, but if it sounds like this war involves the same places as Ezekiel war, remember that basically all the wars of Israel since 1948 involve similar places. Next, I'd like to ask the question, why are the Jews such a hated people? Why is there even such a thing as anti-Semitism? I suggest the Jews are hated because they're the people through God gave us the Bible. They're seen as the people of the Bible. Here's an interesting thing. There are liberal progressives all over the world who support the Palestinians and oppose Israel. Why do we see gatherings like liberal campus groups demonstrating in support of the Palestinians, even in support of Hamas? The answer the liberals give is along the lines of Palestinians are being oppressed by the Jews. In other words, they transport their woke theory into the Israeli-Hamas conflict. Now, that's spread over into the Muslim groups like Hezbollah in Lebanon and the Houthis in Yemen. But there is another very puzzling question in this whole debate. Why do liberal progressives all over the world oppose Israel? Who are the liberal progressives? I know of no other example where liberal progressives are dramatically opposing other liberal progressives. For example, in America, there are four liberal Democrat women in Congress who call themselves the Squad. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, a representative from New York, is usually the main speaker of the Squad, and she's not a Palestinian or a Muslim. The liberal progressive political view of the Squad align with most liberal progressive Jews in New York, whose views are nearly identical with the liberal progressives in Israel. This is true of the liberal progressive demonstrating against Israel all over the world. Their views align with most of the Jews in both America and Israel, pro-homosexual, pro-abortion, pro-feminism. For example, some say Tel Aviv is the homosexual capital of the world. Also, Israel is among the first to put women in the military, resulting in a high rate of pregnancy, which, with abortion available, if they wish to continue on as soldiers. The Palestinians, and all the Muslim terrorist groups, on the other hand, are extremely opposed to all of those things. For example, in some cases, Palestinian Muslims, and certainly those under the leadership of Hamas or Hezbollah, do not allow women to go out in public without being covered and accompanied by a man. They do not allow a woman to drive a car or receive higher education. So why are the Squad and the liberal campus groups all over the world supporting the Palestinians and opposing Israel, the nation who aligns with their liberal beliefs? The young women demonstrating for Palestinians on college campuses would be imprisoned or killed if they went to Palestinian territories controlled by Hamas or Hezbollah. They go out in public without having their head covered. They're not accompanied by a man. They're driving cars. They're pursuing higher education, supporting abortion, LGBTQ rights, and feminism. They would be immediately eliminated in the Palestinian territories controlled by Hamas. They're demonstrating for. I want to say it again. I know of no other example of liberal progressives demonstrating against liberal progressives who believe the same as they do and supporting the group that would violently eliminate them. The only place these liberal progressive women would be safe in the Middle East is in Israel. The answer is clear. The war, carried by TV stations, YouTubes, and other social media, will not admit, or do they understand, the obvious. This is a war against the Bible. This is about the Quran opposing the Bible. The very liberals hate Israel because they are the people who gave us the Bible. And their very existence in the land of Israel validates the truth of the Bible. The land itself is a testimony to the accuracy of the Bible. It seems that the liberal progressives of our world hate the Bible so much they're willing to overlook all their views to support those who oppose the Bible. Although the Jews often refer to the Bible as their claim to the land, most people involved in this war don't think about the Bible. Many civilians have no idea at all about the philosophical or theological or theology behind the war. But some do. The Hamas leaders yelling Allah Akbar do, and Satan does. Paul reminded us, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against powers, against world forces of darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, he said, in whose case the god of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who's in the image of God. There's only one answer that makes any sense, and that answer always makes sense when understanding the liberal progressive agenda. There is only one thing liberal progressives and Palestinian jihadists have in common. They hate the Bible, and that hatred dominates everything else. And that hatred is coming from Satan. Next, I want to say we should support Israel as a nation because they are God's chosen people, not because they're good people or better people. There are four reasons we should support the Jews in their possession of the land. One, God gave the land to Abraham, not to the Canaanites, Isaac, not to Ishmael, Jacob, not Esau. The first people who immigrated into the land, as far as we know, were the Canaanites, who were the descendants of Canaan, the cursed grandson of Noah, from Genesis 9:25. But God called Abraham out of all the people of the earth after the scattering of the Tower of Babel and led him into Canaan, saying he'd give him the land. Second reason we should support Israel is God promised Abraham he would multiply his descendants. Abraham believed God in Genesis 15:6 and proved it by being willing to sacrifice his son Isaac. God stopped him and provided his own sacrifice, But then God said, by myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son. Indeed, I will greatly bless you, and I will greatly multiply your seed as the stars of the heavens, as the sands which are in the seashore. And your seed shall possess the gates of their enemies. In your seed all the nations of the earth will be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. Third, God selected this place for his people as a land for which the Lord your God cares, according to Deuteronomy 11:12. After 430 years in Egypt, God led the Israelites, by a stint in the wilderness for their disobedience, into what Moses called the place in which the Lord your God will choose for his name to dwell. Four, God has plans for Israel that include their future in the land. Through Jeremiah, God told Israel, Jeremiah 29:11-14, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. I will restore your fortune, and I will regather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord. And I'll bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile. We must understand that the Jews are not individually saved by being Jewish, or that individual Jews are better than individual Gentiles, or that Jews treat Palestinians well. We only need to understand that God has a future plan for Israel as a nation, and it's a good idea to remember that God told Abraham, I'll bless those who bless you, and the ones who curse you, I'll curse. Next, we need to understand that the Jews involved in this war are not the Jews involved at the Second Coming. Since there's been a dispersion of the Jews by the Romans in AD 70 and finally in 132, and a regathering of Israel as a nation in 1948, many preachers are saying these Jews are that regathering. This is often done referring to Jesus' statement in Matthew 24:34, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. I suspect Jesus' words, this generation, are referring to the human race, or possibly the Jews alive during the tribulation before the second coming, which would be the immediate context. But the Jews who returned and formed the nation in 1948 are not the return of the remnant of the Jews involved at the Second Coming. We know this because the Jews involved at the Second Coming are not atheists, secularists, or progressives. Unlike today's Jews, those who return when Christ returns are repentant of their sin. They're believers in Jesus Christ as their Messiah. Through Zechariah, God said, I'll pour out on the house of David and on its inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication, so that they'll look on me who they have pierced, and they'll mourn for him, for as one mourns for an only son, and they'll weep bitterly over him, like the bitter weeping over a firstborn. Jesus said that at his second coming, he'll send forth his angels with a great trumpet, and they'll gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the sky to the other. We can conclude that the war of October 7 is not an end times event. In conclusion, it's important to understand that the war which began on October 7, 2023, I'd like to say what it is and what it is not. It's not about Jews being better people or having a more just cause for the war. We should support the Jews because they are genealogically chosen people of God. There are many practical reasons for this, including territorial disputes and long-term hatred. But this is all the consequences of one basic issue. It was declared loud and clear by the killers and kidnappers yelling, Allah Akbar. This is a war against the God of the Bible. A basic question here is, Why do liberal progressives support Islamists, who are dramatically opposed to nearly everything the liberal progressives teach? Answer, Jesus said, you're seeking to kill me, the man who told you the truth. What the world hates is the truth of the Word of God. What the Muslims have in common with the rest of the world is they hate the Bible. In the end, like all of Satan's battles, it's all about the Bible. Thank you for listening. A longer paper on the subject with footnotes for the quotes is available on our website, relationalconcepts.org.